Good evening, everyone. It's always an honor to be able to stand up here and say a few words on behalf of Jesus, and it's just an amazing opportunity for us to get to come up here and do this. And I put in my notes as the first thing to just make sure that we, Brad's not here, so we can, I don't think he's here. Is he here? He may have spies. I'm sure he does have some spies, but just to say what a great job that he does and what great job Keaton did this morning. And it's difficult to stand up here and speak in front of people and to put together some thoughts and to do the amazing job that they do. I think, it's really important that we as a congregation continue to encourage them. And I know we do a good job with that, but I hope that we all continue to do that because, Keaton, you guys do a great job. So we appreciate what you do. It's certainly not easy. And I get to give presentations for my job a lot. And I may have told this story before, but it always sticks in the back of my mind. And when I was starting out, we would travel across the country because of all the oil and gas development here in this part of the country. And so people in Houston and Denver and other places wanted to know some things about the law in our part of the world. So we'd give these presentations. And there was an older gentleman, was one of my law partners, and he passed away earlier this year, but he was a prolific speaker, an amazing speaker. And he was kind of a little bit like a mentor to me, and he helped me get some of these speaking engagements and helped me in my process, and I learned a lot from him. And I asked him one time, I said, Russ, because he presented hundreds of times, if not thousands. And I'd say, Russ, I said, don't you ever get nervous that if you stand up in front of people to give a presentation that you might just go like totally blank, right? And how embarrassing that would be. And I mean, are you scared about that? Keaton, you've probably had this fear occasionally, right? Hopefully you don't have like dreams where you wake up in the middle of the night thinking that, but sometimes I do. And he said, he said, what happens if that happens? And I said, well, no, Russ. He said, that's the last time you ever speak. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess so. So, a little tough love, right? I mean, that's a little tough love. Like, don't ever let that happen, no matter what. So, but there is a challenge to stand up and speak in front of a group of people. And I really appreciate what Brad and Keaton have do for us and everybody else that's a teacher, whether you're teaching the little kids or a Sunday school class or whatever class you're teaching, it certainly is appreciated. So tonight I've just had a couple of thoughts that I wanted to share with you all. One of the things I like to try to do is listen to various sort of books on tape or now, I guess, on your phone that you can get through Audible and other sources while I'm driving because I spend a fair amount of time in the car. And there's just some points that I was thinking about that kind of hit home this week, and I just wanted to share those. I think they're somewhat related. I was thinking of like a sermon topic, and it was going to be something like a brief message touching on three points that are somewhat related. Okay, that was going to be my topic. And then Keaton had a sermon this morning that was like, well, Jonah's whole sermon was 8 words, and I think that's more than 8 words. So my topic was more than 8 words. I thought, no, that's not good. But anyways, I digress. So let's talk a little bit more seriously about three things that I want to share tonight that I think are important, and really, how are they related? They just have to do with our relationship with God, which is really obviously paramount to all of us. Who is God? Who is Jesus? How do we relate to them? To him, and how does that work for us? And some passages that really struck me from the Bible this week, and some things to take away from it. So if you don't mind, turn to John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20, and start in verse 10. And just read a few verses here, but this is a scene where Jesus is risen from the dead, all right? So he's been crucified, and the disciples, Peter and John, had run out to the tomb, and we come upon the scene where Mary stayed behind, right? And you all probably pretty familiar with the story. But it picks up there in John chapter 20, verse 10. And I'll just read a little bit about this because this passage really struck me this week, and I just wanted to share it and a couple other things. So then the disciples went back to their homes. So that was Peter and John and some of the others. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one on the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this time, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher or rabbi. And I think this is a really powerful passage for us because we see that Jesus, as our God and as our Lord and Savior, is not someone in the clouds that doesn't care about us. He cares about us on an individual level. And so you see Mary, who was obviously very distraught, as all the disciples were and all of Jesus' followers. And she's very distraught about the situation, clearly. And she's there, and she's not sure what's going on. She's very confused. She didn't understand the resurrection. And she's the first one to see Jesus. And Jesus doesn't just, you know, you think if it were us, you would appear to the people, like sort of the people that hated you, right? Like the Roman governors and the people, the Pharisees. But he appears to Mary, one of his stout followers, a woman that had a bit of a checkered past, a woman that was truly an intent follower of his. And he takes the time to see her there and call her by her name. And I think that's really neat because you see that about God throughout the whole Gospels and throughout even the Old Testament. You see it with Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. You know, Zacchaeus is the tax collector and he wants to see Jesus and he climbs the tree to see Jesus. And of course, tax collectors were very hated in those days. And Jesus calls out to him by name. And you see that in Samuel in his calling by God in the Old Testament. And you just see that God reaches out to us on a personal, individual level and cares about us on a personal, individual level. And as I read that this week, or actually listened to it in the car driving to the airport, it just really struck me. It just struck me as what an amazing God that we serve that cares about Denny and Tim and Keaton on an individual level and everybody else here. Not based on who you are, but because God loves all of us and God cares about all of us to touch us on a first name basis. And he does that here with Mary. And you think Mary, you know, she thought he was the gardener. She was just totally confused. But then when he actually said her name, she knew immediately. And I think that's a really neat story and one that we've probably heard a million times, but one that's worth thinking about. And thinking about how God cares about us on an individual level. No matter what we've done, Mary had some bad things in her past. We all have bad things in our past. God cares about us as individuals. So that was my first point. And then I was reading this book called Jesus Among Other Gods, and it talks about how Jesus compares to other religions in the world and how Christianity compares to some other religions. And I thought it was very interesting. But one of the main points is when you think about Jesus, we think about Jesus as actually the answer to our problems in a true understanding. The song we just sang was On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And we talk about Jesus as our Savior and as a transformative person in our lives. If you look at John chapter 6, verse 48, I'll read a couple verses there. Flip over to John chapter 6. And this is Jesus just talking about himself. Who is Jesus and how does he compare to other gods, to other, you know, forms of religion, if you will? And if you look at verse 48 of chapter 6 in the same book of John, just a few chapters earlier, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You see, when you look at some other religions, and I'm certainly no expert on that, but you look at other religions and they talk about the teachings of Buddha, maybe. And if you follow the teachings of Buddha, then you make it to Nirvana. You make it where you're supposed to go. With our following of Jesus, Jesus is actually the answer. Jesus is God himself. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the solid rock on which we stand. He's the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living water. And you see him say that about himself throughout the Bible. And it's just an amazing thing. Because in a lot of other religions, they point to various teachings. If you follow the teachings of X, then you will make it to where you want to go. You've got to rely on yourself. But when we follow Christ, we follow him and him crucified. And Paul says in the New Testament, you know, he wants to know Christ and Christ crucified. And that's a big difference when you're a Christian, as opposed to my understanding of what some other folks think. And I just think that's a really interesting thing for us and something that's important to know. Because in our society today, we have a tendency as a modern society to treat all religions as equal, right? You can believe what you want to believe, I can believe what I want to believe, and that's fine. And in some ways, you know, you keep the peace that way. But we want to ask ourselves, why do we believe in Jesus? And how is he different than what other people teach? Was Jesus just a good teacher? And he never claims to be just a good teacher. He claims that he's the Son of God. And he claims that he is the bread of life, not his teachings in particular, but he himself is our Savior, not just what he has to say, oh, if you do X, Y, and Z, then you'll make it to heaven. No, when you accept Jesus, you get into heaven through him, right? And I thought that's a fascinating thing. So those two are sort of neat things to think about. You know, when I think about, why do I worship Jesus? One, because of his his pursuit of us on an individual level, and then two, because he actually is God himself. So what does that mean? So that's the first 2 points. So third point, what does it actually mean for us? And I was thinking about this as well, and I heard this one on the radio. I guess I've been doing a lot of driving because I've been listening a lot as we move forward here. But and I kind of thought about this a little bit too, and I think it's important. So what does that mean for us? If God wants to be with us personally, if Jesus really is the answer, if he is who he says he is, as he is the bread of life, as he claims about himself, what does that mean about us? And I think it's important to understand how important we are to God. And what does that mean for our everyday lives? I think if you really take that to heart and you really apply that logically, it makes your life different. You know, Jesus is supposed to be transformative for us, but sometimes if we've been in the church our whole lives, or even if we've accepted Jesus and been baptized years ago, or even if we've just been baptized recently, we sometimes fall into a lull and we just get back into our regular way of thinking about things. But when you really think about that God died for you, it should really have an impact on your life and the confidence that you have and just the faith and the hope that you have in the future. You know, the world's a scary place, as we saw this weekend. We saw the terror in Paris and we saw all those things, and it's very scary. It certainly is. But when we have faith in God and we have faith in something more, I think we can overcome those things. And so when we look at our society today, people talk about self-confidence as being an important thing. Like, we have to have confidence in ourselves to be successful. And certainly, my experience in the business world is that confident people are successful. If you don't have confidence, you really can struggle. And so where should that confidence come from, right? Some people, which is a terrible mistake, but some people take their confidence and their self-value from others. This is typically, not to pick on the folks in the front row, but this is typically like the teenage and the high school years, right? You're worried about what other people think of you. You're worried about what people think, and that's how you determine your value. You know, am I pretty enough to be liked, or am I smart enough to be liked, or whatever it might be. And you take your value from other people. And I hope that we don't do that, because when we take our value from other folks, then we can be manipulated by them, and those other people don't always have our best interests in mind. But people struggle with that their whole lives. The other place you can find sort of confidence and take your value from is from yourself, right? That's a big teaching, is self-confident, right? We want to teach our children to be self-confident. And there's certainly some importance to that. But if you just rely on yourself as the center of your universe and rely on your own doings, you're going to struggle as well. Even the most confident among us can struggle. I consider myself a very confident person, but this week I was in a meeting and I was sitting there, and it was a firm management meeting, and it was an important meeting. It's in Charleston. And so I'm sitting there and the meeting's going on, and it's kind of a rough meeting. People are a little bit upset with each other and things aren't going as well as we'd like on different issues. And, you know, there's some tension in the room, and I'm like the youngest guy in the room, right? You know, I'm probably the youngest person in that room by probably 17 years. I think the next youngest person's probably 50 or so. And so we're sitting in that meeting, and it's getting a little tense. And so then we decide, well, let's bring in some food. So we pass some food around. You know, it makes everybody feel a little bit better, right? And I'm sitting there. I got my white shirt on and tie, you know, trying to look the part, right? Trying to fit in. And of course, you know, I'm eating, and I see it on my shirt sleeve. Like, I spilled some stuff on my shirt sleeve, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm a slob, right? And I'm just sitting there, and it just hits me, you know? It hits me that I am a slob, and I don't belong here. It just, like, all of a sudden, just like, poof, you know? And, like, all of a sudden, I'm just rattled. I'm sitting in there, and I'm like, why am I, like, you know? And then I notice that, you know, my shirt collar, like, the it's starting to fall apart a little bit, and it looks pretty bad. And I'm thinking, you know, do you guys get these thoughts sometimes, right? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all get those thoughts, like, you know, I'm a slob. I can't even dress myself, you know? And I've been successful in my life, but it still hits me, right? It hits me like that, and it hits you hard. And you think, man, I don't belong here, because we make mistakes, right? Sometimes I am a slob. Sometimes I do spill stuff on myself. It's okay. I mean, I'm not asking, like, for sympathy. Like, when I get down from here, don't say, oh, well, I don't think you're a slob. You know what I mean? It's okay. I don't really think I'm a slob. But in that moment, it hits you, and it hits you hard. And that can happen in any part of your life. That's just one example. You know, the week went on, and I gave a presentation in Columbus, and it didn't go as well as I would like. And then I made a couple of decisions on Wednesday that I think probably in retrospect I could have done a little bit better. And so it's all kind of piling up. And it's like, you know, maybe I ought to just, you know, quit this job and do something else, right? You know, and it hits us. It hits us hard like that. And I think if we're truthful with ourselves, we feel those ways sometimes. You know, it can hit the most confident of us. Because when we're relying on ourselves, guess what? We're going to disappoint ourselves, right? And that can hit us in the business world. It can hit us in our relationships. It can hit us as church leaders. It can hit us anywhere. And you feel this voice in your head that says, you know what? You're not good enough to do this. And when that hits you, if you just have yourself to rely on, you're not going to survive it for very long unless you just have this unbelievable resilience. But when those kind of things hit you, it can hit you really hard. But when you realize that, you know, you're doing what God wants you to do, hopefully, that you've been created by God. Psalm 139 says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. When we put our confidence in the fact that we're created by God and not in the fact that, you know, I'm some great businessman or I'm some great attorney or I'm some great preacher or whatever it is, when you put your faith outside of yourself and into the fact that you were created by God to be on this earth, and that you have your value because of him, not because of what other people think about you or because of what kind of shirt you wear or anything like that, then you realize the true transformative power of Jesus, that we belong to him, and what other people think, or sometimes even what we think about ourselves, isn't as important as remembering that we were created by God to do his will. And that's important to keep in mind, because I think sometimes we let those difficult thoughts haunt us. And it really can rattle us and get us off the track of what God wants us to do. You see it throughout the Bible. You see Peter is coming along pretty well. He's going to later on in his life sort of be one of the leaders of the early church. And he denies Christ, right? And he could have let that beat him up for the rest of his life. And Paul, the same way. He was a man who had Christians murdered, or at least oversaw while they were being murdered. And he could have let that haunt him the rest of his life. Because, see, Paul and Peter, they did screw up. Timmy Keen screws up. All of us screw up. But when we remember that Jesus has died for us, God came to earth to save us on a personal level, that Jesus is the answer for our problems in life and the answer to our issues in life, then we can remember and have confidence. And if we have confidence, we can move forward and do what God wants us to do. Because if I were to quit my job, think of all the bad things that would happen, right? That wouldn't be a good thing for my family, for me. And I think God wants me to do what I'm doing. I believe I'm called to do it. But sometimes we do struggle with our fears and our thoughts. And when we rely on ourselves, or hopefully we don't rely too much on others, but we always have that in the back of our mind, try to keep that away from yourself and remember that you're created by God. And the very last, I went to a Christian grade school in Martins Ferry, and in sixth grade, that was the last year, was all the further the school went. And so it was the very last day, and I still remember very vividly, which is, it's crazy what you remember, right? But I remember my last day of sixth grade, and the man that was the minister, we had Bible class every day, and he said, you know, I just want you guys to remember that when you go out in the world, people may say bad things about you, but God doesn't make junk. So I hope that, see, again, I get emotional up here preaching about this. Just terrible. And see, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to think, you know, that was awful. But and it is, but it's emotional. Because God doesn't make junk. All right? And that's important for all of us to remember. So, despite my emotions getting the better of me up here, it's an honor for me to be up here. And you know, I don't know why this hits me like this, but sometimes it does. So, and sometimes it's the power of the gospel. So Keaton, if you get up here and cry, man, you could really, you know, people be like, man, that guy's passionate. It hits me sometimes. I was able to get my first eulogy this year, though, successfully, which I was very surprised by because my wife said, you know, you're going to just get up there and cry. And I thought, you know, I really probably will. But I had it written down word for word. And if you write it down word for word, you're a lot less likely to cry, but I didn't have time for that this time. So I'm sorry, I'm all kind of all over the map, but I do want to get that message across to people. And the three things that I really think are important that I've been thinking about that I wanted to share is one, that God wants a relationship with us personally, just like he called Mary by name, he calls each of us by name. Two, that Jesus, when you compare him to the other religions and some of the other teachings of the world that the world now says are equal, Jesus is different than that. Jesus claims to be the answer to our problems. He is not, just his teachings won't let us fix ourselves. We're not going to fix ourselves through the teachings of Christ. Christ will transform us. He is the solid rock that we sang about. And finally, remember that our confidence, which we have to help serve him better, we do have to have confidence. That comes from the fact that we're created by God not because other people like us or other people think we're good, not because we can do things ourselves and have self-confidence, though there is some importance to building a little bit of self-confidence, but our true confidence should come through the fact that Jesus died for us and God created us. And God doesn't make junk. See there, I said it that time without crying. Okay. Tonight, if you are outside of Jesus, if you're not sure where you stand and you'd like to come forward and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we'll certainly be open to do that. Denny's going to get ready to sing a song. We'll be up here up front to receive you. Or if you just need the church to pray for you, certainly we'd be happy to help you with whatever your needs would be. As I think we're going to stand, aren't we, Denny? As we stand and as